Let me ask you something. How many times do you think snow's mentioned in the Bible? If you think it's mentioned five times or less, raise your hand. Snow. Five times or less. Okay, now we're going to... 10 times or less, raise your hand. Okay. I'm not going to tell you yet, but 15 times or less, raise your hand. Okay. 20 times or less. How many times is snow mentioned in the Bible? Okay. 20 times or more. How many think it's mentioned 20 times or more? Susie, I think I told you, didn't I? This was, yeah. And she, I think she's cheating. I'm not sure. It's mentioned 24 times. That's kind of surprising, isn't it? The word snow is mentioned 24 times in the Bible. We're not going to look up every time it's mentioned this morning, but I want to tell you, there are some interesting lessons you can learn from how often the word is mentioned in the Bible. The first place we see the word, and often it's used to describe something for us. It's used to help us visualize something. And the first place we find it is in Exodus chapter 4, verse 6. Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become white as snow. That's the first time snow is mentioned. Now, there are three times in the Bible where we find leprosy called white as snow. This is the first time. Moses has been called by God to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." And Moses says, "What if Pharaoh says no?" And God says to Moses, "Well, throw down your staff, it'll turn into a serpent." And then, what if he still doesn't believe me, Moses says. So God says to Moses, "Put your hand in the cloak. Take your hand out, and it's white as snow with leprosy." Now, that doesn't usually happen that way. You don't get leprosy that quickly. And then God said, "Put your hand back in your cloak," put it back in, took it out, and the leprosy was gone. That was a miracle that Moses was going to show to Pharaoh to get him to believe that God had sent him. Hand in the cloak, take it out, white as snow, put it back in, take it out, it's cleansed. So that time was to show the power of God when we have this white leprosy, white as snow. But we learned three different lessons from this leprosy, this white as snow. The second time we see it is from Miriam. Now, Miriam was the sister of Moses. Miriam and Aaron were complaining to Moses because Moses got married. Evidently, Keturah had died. He remarried. He married a woman who was a Cushite, an Ethiopian, most likely black. Now, we say that for a couple reasons. If you're from Ethiopia, there's a good chance you're black, but also because what God did. Miriam complained to Moses about the fact that he married this woman. Doesn't say she complained because she was black, but we get the hint that's the case because God's displeased with her, and when Miriam leaves Moses, her skin is turned white as snow with leprosy, the Bible says. Now, it kind of makes you think that God is saying, "You like white? I'll give you white. How do you like this, huh?" And all her skin is white as snow. Now, Moses goes to God on behalf of Miriam, and she only has to have that for 7 days. 7 days, she's isolated from her family, separated from her family, can't go into the tabernacle. For 7 days, she's disciplined for her attitude. So the first time we see leprosy described white as snow is to show us the power of God. The second time we see it, it's to show us that God disciplines us at times. The third time we see it is in Kings, and it's about Gehazi. Gehazi was a servant of Elisha. Now, there was a guy named Naaman. You probably remember the story. Naaman had leprosy. He was a commander of a Syrian army. He was a rich man, but he had leprosy. He went to Elisha. Make a long story short, we're not going to go into how this happened, but Elisha cured him of that leprosy. And Naaman says, "I'll give you anything you want. What do you want? I want to give you a gift for this." And Elisha says, "I don't want anything." And he sends him on his way. But Gehazi, the servant, follows Naaman, and he says to him, "Hey, my master sent me. And I brought a few prophets, young prophets with me, and they need some money, they need some clothing." Now Naaman, who had leprosy, and that leprosy is now gone, is so glad to give him something, he says, "Take some silver, take twice as much as you were going to take." So Gehazi takes this silver, and he goes home. And when he gets back, Elisha says, "Hey, buddy, where have you been?" And he lies about where he's been. And at that point, God punishes him, and he makes his skin white as snow with leprosy. So three times in the Bible, we see the term snow to describe this leprosy, and we're taught three different lessons. We're taught the power of God. God has the power to make your hand leprous in a moment and to cleanse it in a moment. We're taught the discipline of God to straighten out Marian's thinking, and we're taught the punishment of God. God knows Gehazi's heart, and now he punishes him for his attitude and his sin. That's the first time, three times we read about snow, description of leprosy. Read about snow again in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. As they looked, thrones were set in place. The Ancient of the Day took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. Again, describing for us something. Revelation 1:14 says, the hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. That's a description of Jesus, a symbolic description of Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, described as having clothing and hair white as snow. Why is that? Well, you know that. To tell us the purity of both, that they are sinless. The Bible says that in Jesus, in him, there was no sin or is no sin. And the Bible tells us of God, he is holy, holy, holy. Described white as snow. There's another interesting passage in Psalm 68:14. It says, when the Almighty scattered the kings of the land, it was like snow fallen on Mount Zalmon. Now, a lot of people have a hard time understanding this. It's not a difficult passage. Mount Zalmon, by the way, the other name was Mount Ebal. And here's the thing. Can you stop the snow from falling? In Mount Zalmon, the snow fell all the time. It was a mountain. Now, you can put a little covering on the backyard and stop the snow from falling on a patch. But you can't stop the snow from falling on a mountain. And what he's saying is he's causing his enemies to flee. God is carrying out his plans. You can no more thwart God's purposes than you can stop the snow from falling on a mountain. God is going to accomplish his purposes. God is going to accomplish what he wants to do. And in this passage, he made his enemies flee. He defeated the kings who were the enemies of Israel. Just a passage again that reminds us about the power of God, talking about snow. Now maybe there's another passage here that you might be familiar with in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 20. Benaniah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, performed great exploits. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day to kill a lion. Benaniah was one of David's mighty men. In this chapter, we are told that David had 37 of these guys. They were broken down into a couple groups. There were 30 mighty men. Then there were three mighty men, Benaniah and a few others. Benaniah was mightier than the 30 mighty men. The Bible says of him, he was held in greater honor than the 30. And David appointed him to be a captain of his bodyguard. So he was a tough guy. Now imagine this, fighting a lion today. If you had a gun in your hands, you'd be nervous about fighting a lion. He had a spear, maybe a shield, maybe a sword, and he's going to fight a lion in a pit on a snowy day. I mean, why does he tell us it's a snowy day? Because talk about bravery, talk about courage. He could slip. He doesn't have his footing, and yet he's not afraid to go down a pit and fight a lion on a snowy day. Bravery, courage, just an interesting thing. It'd be fun to take time and talk about David's mighty men. We could spend a lot of time just talking about their courage and the bravery as they fought for God and David. But the Bible also talks specifically about the real type of snow. And in Job 37:6, it says, he says to the snow, this is God, fall on the earth. Isaiah 55:10 says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed and sower for the sower and bread for the eater. This is just one of the many passages in the Bible that talk about the providence of God. That God has set certain natural laws into effect so certain things happen. One is the water cycle. When it snows, the snow comes down, or when it rains, the water comes to earth. After a period of time, it evaporates, then it condenses back in the clouds, and then it comes back to earth again as snow or rain. Now, is snow safe to eat? Well, to tell the truth, it all depends on the color of the snow. It should be white as snow. If it's a little brown or a little yellow or have a greenish tint, you know, don't eat it. But if the snow is white, most likely that snow is purer than the water that comes out of your faucet. You think about it, it condenses up there in the clouds into distilled water that comes back to earth. So yes, it's safe to drink if you're careful. But think about this, 70% of the world is water. And of that water, 92% is salt water. Now, you've all eaten snow. Did it ever taste salty? Well, it would if maybe, you know, somebody threw some salt in the ground and you got it close to where they threw salt. But snow comes down from heaven and it doesn't taste salty, even though 92% of the water is salt water. Why is that? Because the salt doesn't evaporate with the water, with the moisture. It stays there. God purifies the snow. He purifies the rain. This is all through God's general providence. That's what we call it. God sets these laws into motion so we can live in this world and know what's going to happen. When you look out there and you see the snow, remember, God, in his providence, is taking care of you. There are a lot of benefits to snow. I know when we have a bad snowstorm like this, we think of the bad things, but snow brings moisture to the ground. It insulates the ground, it protects shrubs and tree roots and perennials and bulbs. There are a lot of benefits. The Bible talks about the benefit of a snow for a particular people. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 13 says, "Like snow, cold drink at the harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sends him. He refreshes the spirit of his master." This messenger refreshes the spirit of the, and he's like a snow-cold drink at harvest time. Now, for some people, they seem like they have a hard time understanding that passage. It's not a difficult passage to understand. Jeremiah 18:14 says, "Does the snow of Lebanon ever vanish from its rocky slopes?" Here's what happens, or happened back then. There'd be people out in the summertime harvesting crops. They were hot. They were sweating, you know. They were thirsty. You had people who, either for money or people who were family members, who would take a cart, go up into the mountains, and pack that snow together. As they came down, some of the snow would melt, and you'd have cool water. Some of the snow would remain. Can you imagine working out there, harvesting, and you're so hot, and here comes your wife with a snow cone? That's basically what for them it was a delicacy, either that or this cool water. So that's just a practical way that the snow benefited the people back then. The proverb writer mentions that to us. But what most of us think about snow in the Bible, when most of us think of snow, we think of this passage. "Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow." Or this passage. "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Pure white snow symbolizes the purity that we have when we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven, and we are made pure like the snow, pure white like the snow in the eyes of God. Max Lucado tells a true story about a woman named Maria and her daughter Christina. He tells how Maria raised Christina by herself because her father died when she was just a little girl. And for 15 years, they got along okay. They did not have much. They lived in a small town in Brazil. She worked as a maid, made very little money, but enough for them to manage. But as Christina got older, she decided she no longer wanted to be in this small town. She wanted to go to the big city. And Maria was afraid for Christina because she really didn't have much of an education. If she went to the big city, what would she do? How would she make a living? And Maria said, "If you go to the big city, there's only one way for you to make a living, for you to be able to eat and have a place to stay, and it's going to be prostitution. I don't want you to go to that big city. That will happen to you." But one morning, Maria got up, and she looked in Christina's bedroom, and Christina was gone. And she had packed her suitcase. She knew Christina went to the city. So Maria packed her suitcase, took all the money she had, and headed for the bus stop. She stopped at a drugstore on the way and went to one of those booths where you take photographs of yourself. She sat in the booth and put as much money as she could in and took those pictures, you know, the strip of pictures you can get, just of herself. Then she got in the bus and went to the city. And she went where she thought people might know Christina. She went to the bars. She went to the motels. She asked the prostitutes on the street, have you seen this girl? Because she knew she could not make money. She could not make it on her own. That's what she'd have to be doing. So she'd go into bars, and when they said no, she'd go into the ladies' room and put her picture, the picture she took of herself, up on the mirror. Or she'd go in the motel lobby and put her picture, the picture of herself, up on a mirror. She'd give people that picture. If you see Christina, give this to her. Well, Christina was in a motel. She came down the steps after a bad night, realizing that her life now was miserable. She'd much rather be back at home with Mom, but she had no money. She had no way to get there. She was stuck where she was. At least that's what she thought. And besides that, you know, would Mom want her back? But as she walked down the steps, she saw a picture on a mirror in the lobby, and she thought, that looks a lot like my mom. From the distance, she saw it, and she walked up, and she took that picture, and it was a picture of her mother. True story, Max Lucado says. And she turned the picture over. On the back, her mother had written these words. Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Please come home. And she did. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Doesn't matter what I've done. Doesn't matter who I was. Doesn't matter what I have become. God can wash me and make me whiter than snow in his eyes. If you're here this morning, a Christian, think of that passage, because that's what God has done for you. You know, we're awful tough on ourselves. We look at ourselves. We see the sins in our life. And we don't see ourselves white as snow. We're colored snow, you know. We think we're stained snow. God doesn't see yourself that way. He sees us as white as snow. So that's it for today. We're not going to sing a closing chorus. That's some of the passages that deal with snow. I just covered a couple of them. If you want to go home, look up the other 24 or whatever, the rest of the 24, and find out what the Bible says about snow elsewhere. It can be fun. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here today. Thankful for the people to come out. We ask that you would take care of them as they go home. Bless those who are at home and were not able to come because of the weather. And help us, Father, this week to do your will. In Christ's name we pray.